everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is September 9, 2017, and we're here live. We've got a lot of things going on, and I can't start my day, as you well know if you're a longtime listener of the show. I start my day with CEFCO Fresh Joe, and I get mine at the Hilltop. It's CEFCO, the CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron, and they've got some lots of specials going on, and a couple of them are Simple Juice, 11.5 ounce bottles, 2 for $3, or they got their Monster Drinks, 2 for $4. So go tell the ladies there at CEFCO Hilltop in Cameron that I sent you. Say hi and pick up your drinks, your smokes. Don't pick up your smokes. I got somebody here who doesn't like those. But get what you need, a bag of chips or whatever. They got everything you need there at the store, and tell them I sent you. Now, we've got a lot of things going on for today's show. Once again, we have true stories of self-defense from the Concealed Carry magazine. There's much to learn from these actions of others, so listen up and take notes. A lot of good stuff we can learn off of others. In my License to Carry attorney segment, sponsored by Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, Super Attorney Rick Dodd is with me today, and he will be discussing things to know when it comes to the law and you. Today's topic of interest, we'll go over upcoming events with Aaron's and how you can get involved with those as well. And then right after that, I'm excited to announce our new segment added to the show, Tactical Snacking with Janae Goodman. I don't know if you were listening before. As faithful listeners, I'm sure you remember Janae came on a few weeks ago and she did an awesome job. Got a lot of positive response, and we got her on a weekly basis now. Tactical Snacking with Janae Goodman. I think I'm going to gain 5 pounds just listening to her from all the good sounding food she's going to be talking about. At 11 a.m., the voice of law enforcement with retired police chief Randy Dixon, the connoisseur of common sense, the pontificator of practicality, and all-around good guy, Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement. This week's product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, is the Springfield XDS 9mm handgun. If you're looking for a quality concealable handgun, this is another excellent choice. You can take a look at it at my Facebook page. Just go to aaronsgunshop.com, check out the Facebook page, like us while you're there. Today's special guest will be retired Major Edward Thomas. I've known Major Thomas for a while now, and he shared some of his life experiences with me while he served as a helicopter pilot in Vietnam. I asked him to share those stories to you, the audience, and he agreed. So I look forward to this interview very much. And finally, another new segment to the show, Martial Arts with Master Cindy Key. Master Key has her Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, and she is going to be sharing with us the Way of the Warrior. The Way of the Warrior is not always physical. It encompasses mind, body, and spirit. So, let's get things rolling here with true stories. And after reading these next two stories, I want you to tell me where you're going to buy your snack pizza from now on, okay? Story number one. Missouri 7-Eleven clerk foils robbery. A female store clerk was outside the store on a smoke break at about 3 a.m. when a stranger who announced a robbery and demanded money approached her. The clerk, who was armed, drew her pistol and fired on the robber, who returned fire. When the exchange was over, the robber was mortally wounded in the chest, arm, and thigh, while the defending clerk suffered a leg wound. The next story, and yes, I will comment on this in just a second, Texas pizza driver kills armed robber. A Domino's pizza driver in Mesquite was delivering a pizza order when he was met by two men who put a pistol to his head and demanded money. When he did not respond to the robber's demands quickly enough, one robber lowered the pistol and fired a single shot off the driver's side to intimidate him. That's when the driver, realizing the seriousness of the situation, drew his own pistol and fired on the robbers 3 times, killing the man who had held the pistol to his head and driving off the other one. Both robbers were 16 years old. The pizza driver was carrying his pistol on an Arizona permit, which is recognized in Texas. Domino's Pizza has suspended the driver from his job. Police are investigating the shooting as self-defense. Now, my excellent commentary. The 7-Eleven store clerk did a fantastic job. My only observation on her shooting skills would be more training on repetitive shots. Her shot started center, then started pulling to one side, then down. All in all, a great job. Now, this pizza delivery guy, in the other story, did a great job too, especially after having a gun pointed to his head. Now, here's the rub. There is no mention of the 7-Eleven store's clerk being suspended from her job, yet the Domino pizza delivery guy was. So I ask you, if you had 2 choices to buy a slice of pizza, a piece of pizza from, would it be from 7-Eleven or Domino's? All I say is, oh, thank heavens, my listening audience has common sense. I hope you caught that little pun there. Okay, story number 3. Washington State man stops home invader. A Browns Point man heard noises on a porch of his home about 3 a.m. When he went to investigate, he encountered an armed stranger who forced his way into the home. The homeowner managed to reach a pistol he kept in his residence and fired a single shot at the intruder, mortally wounding him and ending the incident. My excellent commentary once again. Ladies and gentlemen, how many times have I said it? If you're a faithful listener, you know it's been a lot. If you hear a bump in the night, get your gun before you go to investigate. You might not have the chance later on. Story number four. Texas homeowner outshoots three drive-by shooters. This is so freaking cool. A Houston man was outside his home on Saturday morning when a car drove slowly by and the three occupants opened fire. The homeowner hid behind a bush and returned fire, striking all three of the assailants while avoiding being wounded himself. The wounded driver of the car crashed into a vehicle. One assailant died at the scene while the other two fled on foot and sought medical attention. One of the wounded assailants died in the hospital. Police are treating the homeowner's actions as self-defense. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll bet you a wooden nickel this guy took a gun course from me. I haven't checked it out yet, but I'll bet you. Shooting a moving target while being fired upon and making lethal hits. That's a textbook scenario. And of course, he's a Texan. And notice he didn't have to go retrieve a gun. He had it on him. So there you go. Four stories of self-defense in real life. With the time a ticking and heartbreaks coming up, I'm going right into my opinion piece. As always, every week or almost every week, I give you an opinion. You may like it, you may not, and that's okay. This week's opinion piece is called Mass Murderers and Dictators. How will you be remembered? If you think about it, life is a mere vapor, a blink of the eye to the rest of eternity. We are born, and with God's grace, we hope to live at least 70 years and beyond. But then what? Well, I'll tell you. In most cases, in about 25 years after your death, you'll most likely be forgotten. A mere headstone among the many who have fallen to the same fate. Your name only to be spoken by chance by the passerby of your grave on their way to a freshly dug grave. A grave of someone new who has succumbed to the fate of mortality through age, sickness, accident, or murder. But to a mass murderer or dictator, once they pass on to the next life, have volumes of news articles, video clips, history books, souvenirs, or a plethora of gizmos and gadgets to remember them by. It seems kind of unfair, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Or does it? Let's meditate on this for a moment, shall we? A mass murderer plots and plans to be the most effective murderer he or she can be. Whether it be through torture, fear of not knowing when the murderer will strike next, keeping the police at bay for as long as possible, or sending coded messages to the media so they'll print or broadcast their manifestos. Or what about the dictator? The one who takes advantage of a people in a war-torn or economic failed state only to promise the people a better life with the sole intention of just bettering their own. That takes skill, planning, energy, and effort. The mass murderer and dictator work hard to be remembered. Aren't they deserving of that? Actually, the question we should be asking ourselves is, what are we doing in this life we have been so blessed with to be remembered as time goes by after our departure from this world? Will it be murder, death, and destruction under the rule of an iron fist? Or shall it be love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all the while conducting ourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity? Did you pick up on that, everybody? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a mass murderer, nor am I a dictator, except in my own home. So that leaves me in the other category. But no matter what you or I choose, it takes effort, energy, and the will to do something. Let's all be remembered for more than 25 years. Let's implant who we are into others so that who we are will not be forgotten, but thought of regularly in a manner which is uplifting to all. Now, I'm originally from New York. Don't hold it against me. I talk fast, and when I talk fast, that leaves me about a minute left before the heartbreak. So, Trey, what is our status? Are we online yet? I mean, no, we're going over the internet here, but are we on radio broadcast now?
That little bit of music that interrupted you, yeah. I think, was telling us that we are back on the air.
Woohoo! All right. If we're back on the air and you can hear me, call me now. 254-697-6633. Again, 254-697-6633. Give me a call. Say, yep, I hear you loud and clear. Receiving 10, code 10 or whatever it is. I don't know. And tell us what you think. You can reach me at email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go to the website at aaronsgunshop.com. Like us on Facebook. Check out our YouTube channel at Aaron's Gun Shop. And just click on one of what do you call those things down there? Buttons? Anyway, we'll see you on the other side of this break.
Icons.
Thank you.
Sometimes you just need more.
But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fault Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Motors. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fault Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of AMC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to AMC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. AMC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's September 9, 2017. We're here live, and to my left, I have Super Attorney Rick Dodd. Rick, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Welcome, sir.
It is great to be here today.
We have this segment called License to Carry Attorney Segment, and I can't think of two better people to have on but Attorney Rick Dodd and Attorney Benton Ross Watson. You two guys do a phenomenal job, and I'm going to be talking to you later on about next week's show. I think we have something good going on. But anyway.
Well, Ross is a good guy, and he'll be here next week, so we'll all be looking forward to that.
All right. I asked you if we could talk about wills today, because we're always talking about the positive side of license to carry in the sense of being prepared and being the winner of the outcome. But oops, we didn't win this one, and we're being taken down 6 feet because we lost the gun battle. Well, we need to have certain things prepared for us, like wills. So I thought we'd talk about wills today, all the different types and how they can apply and what's the bad things if you don't have them.
Of course, I can't imagine a more boring subject. But on the other hand, I know one thing's for certain, and that is not just taxes.
That's right. So
everybody needs to kind of look at this. I always knew that I wanted to be a lawyer. And the bottom line on this wills and estate planning is some people are better than others. But I remember back in like the fifth grade here at Cameron High School, not high school, Miss Batts class, fifth grade math.
Yeah, we know Miss Batts well. You talk about her a lot.
Yeah, well, she was a great teacher.
Okay.
I'm a bad. Anyway, she asked this math question in class, and it's about a fellow who died who had a $20 million estate, and a fifth of it was going to go to the uncle, and a fifth of it was going to go to the ex-wife, a sixth of it was going to go to his butler, and the rest was going to go to charity. And she asked, well, what do each of them get? And I got bonus points for saying a good lawyer. So it is complicated. I mean, we got complications. You got situations where if you die with a spouse, then you're looking at community property and separate property. And, of course, everything is considered to be community property if you have a spouse, unless it is proven otherwise. In other words, there's a presumption that it's community property. So it's treated differently than separate property. If you die without a spouse, generally speaking, your children get your assets. And I'm talking about without a will. If you pass away and you don't have any children, then it gets complicated. And, you know, that's where you need to get the good lawyer involved in the first place. And again, some people are just better than others. I had an old friend, Dan. Dan started working in the family business when he was 10 years old and had worked there for 40 years. And about age 50, you know, he devoted his whole life to this business. He realized that his dad was, you know, getting old. He's 85 years old and he wasn't, you know, all that great of health. And that when his dad passed away, he was going to inherit like $20 million. So he thought, you know, I really need to think about getting a wife. So he's thinking about that. And one day he was at an investment seminar and, you know, really pretty girl across the room. So he goes over and just tells her, just spills his, tell the whole story, you know, about what's going on with it. And she was really interested and he was really happy about that. She asked for his card. 3 days later, Dan had a new stepmom.
I knew that was going.
So, yeah, some people are better than others. So, it's complicated. I mean, there's even provisions in the probate code about children born to someone more than 9 months after they passed away because, you know, we have ways of gestation now and impregnation that could last beyond someone's death. The probate code is books and books of information that explains what it all means. So it does get complicated. The need for a will is important because of that. A will will bypass a lot of the expense of probating an estate without a will. In fact, sometimes a will allow a quick probate by what they call a minimum of title. A lot of folks, you know, are not in this $20 million category that I talked about a couple of times. So if they have a house, and they have a will that gives it to their children, the children can go down and get this probated as a minimum of title, and basically the monument that is put in the records at the courthouse is the will itself, and that then shows the descent and distribution or where the property goes. We have, as a public policy in the United States, a requirement that property has to belong to somebody or something. And when I use the word thing, I'm talking about a trust or a corporation. It belongs to somebody or something. In other words, it can't just be when somebody passes away that it just sits out there idle for years. So it immediately passes to those that are named in a valid will. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody can't contest it and say, well, that's an invalid will, or there's something wrong with the way the will was written, undue influence. In other words, you know, whoever wrote the will may not have been in a steady frame of mind that allowed them to make decisions. But generally speaking, if we go down and we get a will done at an attorney's office, they'll be made, they'll be valid, they'll be self-proving. In other words, there'll be affidavits attached to it that show that it is valid, and it can be processed through the probate court quickly and easily and rather inexpensively. And, you know, I don't do wills at my office. We do a few for our clients that need them, of course. But those that do wills and do charge for wills, they might charge $200 or $1,000 depending on how much information and things that you may require. Like, I know if you want to set up a trust, it costs a little more, obviously, than if you have a home and you're wanting to write a will to your children. But it could save a lot of money in the future. And I always joke about that. It's like, well, who really needs a will? I mean, I don't personally need a will. Maybe the people that I leave behind need a will.
That's right. Yeah, it doesn't bother you a bit, right?
It doesn't bother me a bit. That's right. So it kind of gets complicated insofar as us thinking about wills and thinking, you know, I don't want to go down and spend 30 minutes with a lawyer and tell him what I want to do with my property. I'll wait till next year. Now, you talk about something to easily procrastinate about.
So you're talking about a courtesy to the family or friends.
Oh, absolutely.
So they have to go through hell,
you know,
trying to
figure this out. Not just a courtesy, but also a saving of money in, you know, in the end. You know, really, the idea is to die broke, right?
That's right.
You know,
make it and then spend it for your last day and then have a good time and just, it's over.
It's over. That's right. But
I guess I can die right now then, right? Okay. No, you got me for a little while unless I cross the street and get hit. But hey, Rick, what is a trust? Clarify what a trust is as compared to something else.
Well, a trust is the most common trust is a situation where someone else is put in control of some property that really belongs to the children. You know, we're talking about kids who really, and I say kids, I mean, you know, I know 25-year-old children.
Mm-hmm.
I know 35-year-old children, and some people just can't manage things on their own. So trust is an opportunity to put something in the hands of someone else to manage it on for the benefit and behalf of children or someone else who needs that help. Also, trust can be used as vehicles for estate planning. There are a lot of people who set up trusts for tax purposes. And again, these are some things that lawyers do who are board certified in probate and real estate. If your estate is rather large, you probably want to go find one of those folks, and we can help you find those, but because they're out there, and there's some near here that are very good. I know that when my parents needed help, I went to Temple and talked to some folks there. So it's a specialty, just like our specialty is down at Capilano Dodd Krebs, that that you really need to go to because they know exactly what they're doing.
Do you mind if I put out there, if people got questions about it, they can call?
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a great opportunity. Everybody needs this. It's like everybody needs air in their tires. Everybody needs a will, okay? You're not going to go very far. So give us a call, 254-697-6633, and the phones are ringing already. Okay, go ahead, Rick. What else you got?
Well, I really can't stress how complicated it is, and that's really the bottom line. I mean, you got situations with half brothers, half sisters. Say, for instance, if you don't have a spouse, you don't have any children, you don't have any parents, it starts going to uncles and aunts and nephews and nieces. And, you know, seriously, if you're the butler and you're getting 1/6, you need to just go get a good lawyer.
Yeah,
it's a joke, but it's true.
Okay, so let's see, we've got different types of wills. You kind of mentioned you're going all around. Just go ahead and list the different types real fast. So these people are the audience here, they're probably taking notes so they can say what's what. We got different types, and they're called, you got the trust.
Well, I mean, the trust is within the will. Now, when you talk about different types of will, I would just say there's good will and there's bad will. But the wills are tailored to the person. And when I say that, really it's to the person's estate. I mean, if you have real estate scattered out throughout the United States, you're going to be treated differently than you live in the family home that you raised your children in for 40 years. And when I say treated differently, I mean, it'll still be a good will, but the will is going to be a lot shorter.
Mm-hmm. So you can't really say there's a best will. You have to say there's a will for different...
Yeah, the best will is the one that fits your needs. And that's really what you need. And I have people come in sometimes and they want to get a cheap will, but then they want to start talking about giving to charity and giving to children and giving to ex-wives and putting things in trust. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. That's beyond my pay grade as far as will goes, because I don't normally do wills. And then I get someone else involved who is an expert in the field.
You know, I'm looking at all the paperwork you have on the desk here because you always come prepared with notes. And this is just a mere fraction, I'm sure, of what you could review. How do you guys do that, man? How do you retain it in your brain to remember all this stuff? I mean, you truly are good attorneys who can say, I may not know it all. I know where to go get the reference material. And because I am skilled at what I do, I can look it up. But it's just a lot of information.
Well, you know, just like doctors, lawyers have to specialize because there are so much information in each area. Like Ross does a lot of criminal work.
Mm-hmm.
He's great at it. You know, after a few years, you know what's in that book. I mean, you know what's in the 5 books, and you know where to find it if you don't know it. But, I mean, after some years of experience and studying the books, you know a lot. I've been doing it for 35 years, and sometimes I look back and look at all the situations that I've been involved in and all the people I've represented. I got licensed in New York and Pennsylvania and had to take an ethics exam to do that. And I recall sitting there for 3 hours during that ethics exam, and every single question, I was thinking about a case that I had handled in the past that kind of rolled into that ethics question.
Hmm.
So, yeah, in the probate stuff, I want to. It's complicated, but it's also concise. But what you got to remember, in every situation, no matter what it is, there's going to be some differences. Like, for instance, in my business, if I were to lose a little finger, you know, it would certainly upset me, and I wouldn't be happy about that at all. But if I were a concert pianist and lost a little finger, that would be totally devastating. So right. It would be treated differently, even though it's the same circumstance otherwise.
What made you get into the type of... I mean, I know you got your general information as a lawyer, but what made you focus in on this particular aspect of being an attorney when it comes to corporate mishaps and things of that nature?
Well, I saw a need out there. And, you know, I grew up on a farm. My dad was an entrepreneur, if you may, being a farmer his whole life. And I saw... and actually worked on the farm quite a bit as a kid. And I saw situations where, I'll use the word common man, I mean, you know, we're all common for that matter, are getting ran over by corporations, and I didn't like it. I mean, the power of the corporation was something that has been developed over the years. When our founding fathers started the United States, they prohibited corporations because there was too much power that would go into corporations. And we're seeing it right now. I mean, we have our government, which is huge, and of course they are in the business of helping us and protecting us and transporting us and giving us parks and places to do. But corporations, they have one thing, that it's their job to make money for their stockholders. And when people say, oh, well, corporations are good citizens, I mean, it's not possible. I mean, you look at some of the pharmaceuticals out there, the way they've been killing people, the way they get their products on the market without proper testing. It's just incredible, some of the HIP situations.
Don't they look at it sometimes as, yeah, we kind of know this might be dangerous, but the amount of money we'll make on it being such a fantastic thing to the public, even if we do get sued, the percentage of loss is not greater than what we took in the initial income.
And Matt, it's my job to find those memos. Those memos.
They're somewhere. The truth is out there.
Yeah. I mean, we were involved in a case recently where we traveled to 5 different cities across the United States and looked in warehouses of boxes, myself and 3 other lawyers in my office. We spent weeks looking through these boxes, and we found some really good stuff. And because of that effort that we made, we were able to get the cases resolved without going to court. And going to court in those cases would have cost hundreds of thousands. So it worked out for everybody. I think even worked out for the defendant, because they didn't have to spend a lot of money on their attorney's fees and going to court. And their insurance companies paid, and everybody walked away, I think, satisfied. I would have liked to have blistered them, but that would not have been in my client's best interest.
I got a question. And I don't mean this disrespectful to any attorney, but are wills like a tire store? Every car needs tires. They're all over the place. And so when you focus in on wills, everybody's going to die sooner or later. So that's a big market. Whereas compared to somebody like you who gets focused in on a specific thing that excites you because of what the outcome of it is, is that true about the wills? It's just somebody goes into it because they look at it just as a steady flow of business?
Absolutely. But... there's always a but.
Always a but.
There's always a but.
It is.
There are litigation situations in wills. I mean, you have situations where huge estates usually want to, you know, again, it goes back to getting a good lawyer. I've been involved in will litigation where there's been oil and gas and questions about whether the estate owns certain percentages and whether the companies that were supposed to pay those percentages were paying it to the proper people, and then whether they were shaving off a certain percentage they should not have. I mean, it kind of goes back to the corporate greed that we just mentioned, but that also gets shifted into estate planning and then eventually into the probate situations.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have Super Attorney Rick Dodd here. Awesome guy, plethora of information. The number here is 254-697-6633. Now is your time to give us a call if you have a question concerning this topic, and he'll be more than happy to do his best in answering it. Rick, what you got there? What you want to talk about there?
Well, I was just going to give you an example of the complications here. Although complicated, it is rather simple when you look at the 2 or 3 pages. But for instance, if someone passes away with a spouse and they have separate property, the surviving spouse actually takes 1/3 of the personal estate. You see, they separated that out from the real estate. So the spouse gets 1/3 of the personal estate of the separate property. She gets 2/3 of that personal estate goes to the children. And then if one of the children are passed, then the decedents of that child But if there are no children, then the surviving spouse gets a life estate. Now, get this, a life estate in a third of the person's land. So, again, it gets complicated. We got to look at each situation. And then you got situations for half-brothers, half-sisters, situations where the parents are not there, but the grandparents are. And, got to go back and look at this no matter what. Even if you're a lawyer and you know it really well, it's a good idea to go back and look. Just double-check.
You just raised my eyebrows on this. I'm thinking, here's the deal. I'm married and I croak. My will says she gets it all. She can do with it what she wishes. When she croaks, she's got it set up where it gets dispersed. Is that contrary to what you just read here?
No, I'm sorry. I was unclear on that. What I just read had to do with people without wills.
Ah, I get you. Okay.
Yeah, now see, if you got the will, you get to do with it what you want to while you're alive. If you want it to go to a charity, to develop a park here in Cameron, Texas, it'd be a great idea. Everybody would think that's wonderful. You can do that while you're alive if you want to, but there's some tax situations. Like, for instance, if you were to bought AT&T stock 20 years ago and you sell it so you can give the money away today, then you got to pay taxes. But if you just wait until you pass away to give it, then the tax situations essentially disappear.
I lost both my parents in 2011, and my dad, he was an attorney. And he pretty much did what he had to do. But even being an attorney, and he did a lot of wills. I remember him doing a lot of wills. So he knew what he was doing. But even so, taking care of the estate was a headache. Even when it was all written down, what had to do, all the extra stuff, selling the home, monies, the whole works, it's very complicated. And I can only make this comment to those of you who have not gone through that situation yet, and that is, do your best to get it squared away so you don't have your loved ones dealing with it after your death. Get rid of all your excess garbage and trash, literally physical stuff, and your paperwork type of stuff. Rick, what do you say to that?
Well, I think it's a great idea. It's better than a friend of mine who was driving along with his wife one day, and he was thinking about all this junk, and he told her, he said, when I die, I think you should remarry. I really do. And he kept thinking about it. He said, it'd be okay if you lived in the house. I love the house, but I'll be gone. It'll be all right. And I got these two nice cars. Y'all can go ahead and use them. But, these golf clubs, I love the golf clubs, and, I play golf every day, and I can't imagine allowing some other man to use my golf clubs. And she looked over and said, it's all right. He's left-handed.
I knew it, man. You come up with these stories, I go, oh, wait a minute. I sit back and I go, where are we going with this one?
Hey, it's a true story.
I'm sure it is in many cases. And we talked about what happens, how there were different types.
Well, the key is, again, to get the lawyer. You go there and get your will done, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore. And you can always change your will. Just because you've gone in and spent $300 on getting a will and you decide that you wanted to change things because maybe one of your children passed away and the grandchildren are, worthless ingrates, you can go change your will. It's not a problem.
Rick, I got a very valid question here. What if you've been diligent and you got your will, but, some of those things are private matters. And what if the person who has the will didn't really discuss it with family members? I did my duty. I got it. But nobody knows where it's at or what's in it or they're dead. What do you do at that point?
Well, when you say, what do you do at that point? You're dead. So hopefully you've told somebody about it. And,
that's what I'm saying. You don't. You just.
Well, the lawyer that drew it up for you generally has it. And if he does.
I know, but he's not checking obituaries. He's not going to say, hey, your husband just died here in case he didn't give it to you.
Well, I that's always a problem. But it's just be a good idea to tell somebody about this will and maybe even leave a couple of copies of it around. You don't necessarily have to have the original. Now, if the original is available, you do have to go probate it. If you don't have the original and you have copies, you have to present evidence as to why the original is gone. And like, for instance, down in Houston, I'm sure there'd be a lot of wills that got washed into the Gulf by now.
Yeah.
But then there could be copies of that will that could be used and used for probate later.
Well, I would assume if you got a copy, it would say who did it. You go to that individual lawyer, attorney, and they would pull up the master copy, I would assume, right?
Well, yeah. And you use the word master copy. They're originals, and you can have multiple originals. Typically, when someone comes into our office and does a will, we do at least two originals, and one of them goes into our vault, and they take the other one with them.
I got you, yeah, and they make copies off of those.
Right.
And there a difference between copy and certified copy?
Not really. Again, you have to present evidence as to why there's not an original and why you have to use a copy to probate instead.
Okay. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the number here is 254-697-6633. Trey, how much time I got before a break? 2 minutes.
One thing I want to mention is debts. If it doesn't matter what you put in the will, the debts get paid first. And some debts take precedent over others. And you can imagine that the funeral would get paid. Your medical that led up to the funeral would get paid. And if you had debts like mortgages on your house, certainly those would, in a situation where there's community property, that would just go to the wife. The mortgage would pass to the wife. In other words, it would be her complete debt now. But in situations of separate property, or if you pass without a spouse, see, there's different rules that apply to all of that as far as debts go. So a lot of litigation that I'm talking about that involves an estate has to do with people who are owed money.
Don't they have gap insurance that covers that kind of stuff that you can apply to it somehow?
Well, you can buy insurance for anything, but you can also not buy insurance for anything. So there are a lot of things that require you to have insurance. And then there's a lot of laws out there that say, well, if you're a bank and you're loaning money, you can't require this type of insurance. So again, all that legal stuff gets mixed up in there, and it becomes minutia.
You said this was boring. I found this fascinating and interesting and very informative. And I think a lot of people out there did too. So if you have a will problem, I guess you can call Rick, even though
sure.
you don't specialize.
Especially if it's a big problem.
Okay. Rick, I'll tell you what, we've got about a minute left or so, or less. Why don't you tell everybody who you are, what you do, how they can contact you, and
I'm Richard Dodd. I'm with Capolino Dodd and Krebs. We've been here in Cameron for 35 years. I can't believe that. But yeah, every year's been a good year, and every year I wake up in the morning, it's going to be a good year. So you can contact us at 312 South Houston, right down the same street as all the banks are. You can give us a call, 254-697-4965. You can dial 888-MESO-FIRM, but that's a little more difficult. You can look us up at asbestoslaw.com, or our main website is respectforyou.com.
And I want to make a comment to you, Rick. You're a major sponsor of this program, and I can't thank you enough for it. Without you and others like you, we just wouldn't be on the air. And all the people who support me, like Trey and all the other people. So I just want to thank everybody for the support. Make sure you give support to the sponsors. And you hear the music, we're going to be taking a break. So when we come back after the break, we'll be going over topics of interest. And we'll have also our new segment, Tactical Snacking, Janae Goodman.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. 4417.
This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. Welcome back, everybody. September 9th, 2017, live here on the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. And we've got some topics of interest coming up real quick, and then I have a quick guest in to give us some information on an event that's happening. So first of all, September 8th, last night, was our round robin. Awesome. Had lots of people there. And some great prizes. We had the Mossberg 590 Shockwave. That was one. And a lot of people were grinding their teeth wanting to get that gun, and the competition was good. So the next one will be the second Friday of next month. I didn't look up the date. I forgot the date. Somebody pops it up for me real quick. We can do that. But last night at the shop, round robin, fantastic. Y'all need to do that. It's great training. Today, at 2 o'clock, I got a license to carry class. And for newbies, it's $60. For refreshers, it's $40. I still got slots open. If you want to do a last-minute ditch to take a class, you can do that today. 2 o'clock at the shop. September 15th is ladies' night. Ladies get to shoot free on the range. Guys, you can come on, bring your ladies. Ladies, come on, bring your ladies. You never know in this world, man. I got to cover all bases. And the ladies shoot for free. Guys, I'm taking your money. Don't forget, also, September 11th. Remember 9/11. September 16th, this is very exciting. Trey, very exciting. September 16th, our first simulcast. It's going to be on KRXT 98.5 FM in Rockdale, and it's going to be right here on this station, KMIL, both at 10 o'clock in the morning till noon. That's fantastic. So I thank the parties that be for letting it happen. Also, we have our seminars. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the High Cap Adventure page. Look at all the different seminars that we have to offer. Five people or more, and we'll set up a seminar for you. Parties. You got something going on, corporate party, birthday party, wedding, whatever. We have the facility available for you to have some fun there. Give us a call or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Lots of things going on. Always check out the website at aaronsgunshop.com. Check us out on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Go become a subscriber to the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gunshop YouTube channel. Lots of things going on. Lots of videos, lots of interviews, lots of product spotlights, so on and so forth, et cetera, et cetera. Now, to my left, sitting here.
Good morning.
My good friend, Mark Boyer. Mark, you know, you were at the competition last night, and you were tagging it, buddy. You were tagging it. It gets a little stressful, doesn't it?
It gets really stressful out there. And what's so great is you go from one weapon to another weapon that you probably have never trained with before. And I was doing so good on like the 1911 baseline. I had a few other weapons. And then I hit that Glock, and I don't train with Glocks. And I was so humiliated out there. But there's a few other guys out there that just pick it up, and it's just so smooth, it makes me sick.
Which is a perfect reason why you do it. You get the great training, and you get to learn a whole bunch of different guns. But you're in here for another reason. Tell us what's going on.
I am. I'm really excited to be here with you. And KMIL has been fantastic, giving out tickets in their contests and things. For the Grace Brisket Barbecue special we got going on today. I just left the church. We've at Grace Church here in Cameron, Texas. We've got brisket, potato salad, beans, we got bread, we got all the fixings. And we're giving these to-go plates out, one for $8 and then two for $15. So that's a great deal. We've already sold over 500 plates.
Wow.
In just Cameron, Rockdale. We've got some people taking and delivering out to Hearn today. And today I'm doing free delivery, so if anybody wants to stop by Grace Church, or if they want it to be delivered to them, they can call me at area code 254-482-0051, or my wife Melissa at area code 254-282-0051. 1-800-291-3116. And I would love to bring you this brisket and all the fixings. And that way you don't have to leave the house. You don't have to do dishes. But you can enjoy and smear this barbecue sauce all over your face and just have fun, man.
Because I'm looking at it right now and it looks fantastic. You got the brisket, you got the beans, the potato salad, bread, pickles, sauce. It's great. And I can't wait to put my fork into it.
And that's a Grace Church here in Cameron, but we do free delivery all over town.
Fantastic. Mark.
And, you know, we do have a dessert planned for this.
What?
It's called your special guest today, the next wonderful...
Oh, what a segue, man. What a segue that is.
It's incredible.
I still need that bumper, that bookend for this
segment. Okay, I'm out of here, but thank you very much. I'm out delivering.
All right, buddy. See you later. Talk to you later, and have a good time.
Man.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do a quick commercial, and on the other side of that, we will have Janae Goodman for Tactical Snacking. Go ahead, Trey. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Ever find yourself short on ingredients way too late in the game? Making a health-friendly snack or meal? No worries, I got you covered. My name is Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. With the climbing obesity rates in both children and adults, it's really good to have some healthy alternatives in place. You can feel good about what you're eating and feel good while you do eat it. If you're substituting butter in a recipe, try olive oil, vegetable oil, or coconut oil if you have it on hand. If you're making a creamy stew or maybe some baked goods, try 1/4 of a cup of Greek yogurt in place of every cup of butter in your recipe. Any lean meat subs? Chicken and fish are typical, but most people don't think about ground turkey instead of ground beef. Also, look for the leaner cuts of beef, basically meaning that they just reduce the amount of fat in the meat, or you can try venison instead of beef. Bonus points if you hunt the deer yourself. I do a lot of baking. And that typically means that I find myself short on baking ingredients that I thought I'd been stocked on, well, a lot. Buttermilk is not something that I keep readily on hand, and it's the leftover liquid that results from making butter, hence the name buttermilk. Although it is a drinkable substance, the tangy taste is not a fan favorite. Because of this, I hardly keep it in my household, so I tend to make it myself by mixing 1 tablespoon of vinegar or lemon juice into a cup of milk. I let this mixture sit on my countertop for about 10 minutes, give it a stir, and it's ready to add to your recipe. If you ever find yourself short on eggs, try adding 1/4 of a cup of unsweet applesauce or 1/4 of a cup of mashed bananas in place of every egg for your recipe. If you don't happen to have either one of those on hand, try 1/4 of a cup of vegetable oil. I do suggest that for the vegetable oil, you only do this for one egg. If you have more than one egg in your recipe, I highly recommend a different method. If you're really in a pinch, you can try 3 tablespoons of real mayo per egg. Please also remember to reduce the oil by 1/2 because of the fact that your mayo is going to have an oil content. If you ever find yourself short on butter, or you'd like a healthier alternative, try a mashed avocado that's equal to the amount of butter called for in your recipe. Greek yogurt can be used for every 1/2 cup of every cup that is called for in your recipe. You can also use unsweetened applesauce. For every cup of butter, use 1/2 cup of unsweetened applesauce. If you're ever short on milk, use plain yogurt or sour cream in the same amount that is called for in your recipe. Water can also be used in the same amount, but you may want to increase the amount of butter. I suggest about a teaspoon for every tablespoon of water, just to replace the fat content that was present in your milk. I also have a recipe for half and half, since that's not something I typically keep on hand either. If you have light cream, just use half the cream and half a cup of milk. For heavy cream, use 1/4 of a cup of heavy cream and 3/4 of a cup of milk. Last, I'm going to leave you with my homemade Bisquick recipe. You can use this for all kinds of baking. Cookies, cakes, pie crusts, biscuits, take your pick. All you need is 5 cups of all-purpose flour, 1/4 a cup of baking powder, 2 teaspoons of sugar, 1 teaspoon of salt, and 2 sticks of butter or 1 cup of shortening. All you do is sift your dry ingredients together, cut in your butter or shortening, and it can be stored into an airtight container for 6 weeks. Refrigerate it if you're using butter to keep your product from going rancid. This is a huge time saver. If you have any questions for me, feel free to shoot me an email. NoodlesV2@yahoo.com. That's NoodlesV2@yahoo.com.
This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for our motorcycles, ATV, Ford Trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. If you're looking to buy, Two Wheel Customs always has vehicles on display for purchase. In addition, you can find a store full of Aaron apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254-760-2250. That's 254-760-2250. Two Wheel Customs on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, it's September 9, 2017. We're still having trouble with the transmission over the airwaves. We are live here on the internet. So if you know somebody who used to listen on the radio, just have them transfer over to the internet, and they'll hear us live here. We got some good stuff coming up still, and I'm sure Trey will let me know as soon as we're back up again on the air. Now, this is our product spotlight segment, and it's sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer. I've known Arch Kuntz, the owner, for a long time. He's a fantastic individual. He's got a great shop there. He's got a great crew, too. Clint, Mike, Dennis. They've got different types of weapons, guns, pistols, rifles, shotguns, knives, accessories, reloading equipment, ammo, the whole works. Great location in the sense of it's an old bank. It looks great when you go inside. The old wooden squeaky floors, the brick walls, half-cracked plastered walls. It's just a lot of fun to go look at it. So check it out there in Heidenhammer. And today's product spotlight is going to be the Springfield XDS 9mm. Now, this is the scaled for self-defense Springfield 9mm. And I got this review off of gunsandammo.com. I've had these. I've shot them. I've had a whole bunch of XDs, and we'll go over that too. And there's not a darn thing wrong with them other than just personal preference. I'm one of those guys who is constantly seeking to get better and fine-tuning what I use, but I have to be familiar with them all, and XDs are excellent firearms. So if this is something that interests you, you won't be disappointed if you end up getting one. So gunsandammo.com, this is written by Patrick Sweeney, and I'm going to read sections of it. And here we go now. There are people and companies who have one good thing, one trick that they work for all their worth. Then there are those who are a steady stream of ideas and products that people want and are eager to get. Springfield is one of the latter group. Whether it's making a century-old product, 1911s, a half-century-old product, M1As, or something that is of more recent vintage, polymer-framed pistols, they just keep on lifting the curtain on one hot new product after another. The company's latest item, and keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, this was written in 2013. The company's latest item, the XDS, is a wake-up call to the world of carry guns. Springfield Armory intends to own it all. Enter the XD 9mm. The XDS 9mm is as flat as the 45 version and a 1 ounce or so lighter. But where the 45 holds 5 rounds, the 9mm holds 7. The extended version holds 9, the extended mag version. As flat as it is, packing it all day long would be a lot easier than any double stack 9mm would be, and with its 3.3 inch barrel, the nose end of the pistol isn't going to cam off your hip and just jam the tang into your kidney. The great thing about the XDS 9mm, besides being so convenient to carry, is that it works just like the rest of the XD family. Now, this is me talking again. I remember telling you probably a couple weeks ago about how 1911s have all different sizes, barrel lengths, and the grip sizes, but the mechanics are the same, the trigger's the same, the safety's the same, the grip safety's the same, the slide release is the same. It's the same thing on all these XDs, XDSs, XDMs, doesn't matter. They're all the same. And much like the original XD. We're back to the article. If you know how to run any of those, you'll know all you need to know about using the XDS. And when it comes time to take it apart to clean it and blow out all the lint and dust bunnies from daily carry, the XDS disassembles just like the XD pistols before it. You have to dry fire XDS in order to disassemble it. As with all members of the XD family, the XD9 has the features we've come to expect. Loaded chamber indicator, which is pretty nice at nighttime. That's me speaking again. I'll give you an idea why. On the top of the slide or on the top of the barrel, there is an indicator. And when there's a round in the chamber, that indicator pops up. So let's just say it's low light conditions and you're not 100% sure if you got one in the chamber. You drag your finger across the top of that slide and you feel that little bump sticking up. You know there's something in the chamber. So that's your round indicator. Then you have your grip safety, match barrel, and nearly corrosion-proof melanite slide finish. The XDS also has the extras of the XDM branch of the family tree, ambidextrous magazine catch, light rail, and interchangeable backstraps. But the XDS 9mm does more than just fill. It provides the holder with an option, a lightweight, as compact as you want it, 9mm that holds enough ammo and is easy to shoot. The result is a flat, compact, easy-to-carry pistol in a serious caliber. When I first pulled the XDS 9mm out of the box, I immediately thought of the Colt Pocket model, that classic Browning design pistol in 32 and 380. They were flat, compact carry tools of another era. The XDS 9mm is the 21st century equivalent, complete with more powerful chambering, aggressive frame texture, and modern safety features. Another big advantage for me is the extra capacity XDS 9mm. My hands are big enough that the regular frame just isn't long enough. That happens to me too. I've got a large mitt, and when you have these compact guns, sometimes your pinky just dangles, like this gentleman's about to say. My pinky finger is just flapping in the breeze, not able to help the team, so to speak. But with the extra length mag, it can help brace the frame against the heel of my hand. All of a sudden, what's a squirmy, hard-jumping pistol becomes easy to shoot. And in a 9mm configuration, it's downright pleasure. Now remember, if your hand is smaller, the thing's perfect. If your hand's big like mine, you can add the extension clip to it and it just fills the gap right there. Back to the article. The short barrel and slide make it a whole lot more pleasant and comfortable to carry. But I'm sure some are wondering, what is the cost in velocity? After all, while the 45 ACP does its work mostly through bullet mass and frontal area, the 9mm depends on velocity to try to keep up. The pumpkin-like bullets out of an XDS 45 are slowed some, but not so much that it really matters. How much 9mm velocity do we lose using a 3.3 inch barrel of the XDS 9mm? The answer, the quick answer, not much. Losing 20 feet per second to 50 feet per second in a 9mm is not a severe penalty. So the Springfield XDS 9mm compact pistol, if you go to my website, aaronsgunshop.com, and go to the Facebook page, you're going to see a picture of it there, me holding it in my hand. You'll get a reference point of how big it is. But the other nice thing about it, which he doesn't mention in this article, is that it has one notch under there for a light to be attached to, or a laser, which is a nice option. So you can use this gun as a concealed carry package, or you can use it when you're done and put it on the nightstand and have a flashlight attached to it. So if you hear a bump in the night, you got your gun and your flashlight in one hand, and you got the free hand for a 911 call or opening up doors, whatever. So it's a nice compact piece, and it's very flat. The guy in the article said something about the Colt pistol. It's true, because I've got one of those too, and when you look at them, you can see, yeah, two different eras, but they had same concept in mind. Flat, functional, and effective. So the XD9S, standing for slim, in 9mm, you can get it now at A&C Firearms, A&C Firearms in Heidenhammer. Go ahead and give them a call at 254-983-4417. Either Arch, Mike, Clint, or Dennis, they can help you out. Tell them you heard it here on the radio. Remember, support the sponsors. Don't be shopping around looking for something else when it's right there in your backyard. Support the sponsors because they support the show. It's a circle of life, okay? Without one of us involved in the circle, we all die. So support the sponsors who support the program. Give them a call at 254-983-4417. That's A&C Firearms, and they've got the XDS 9mm Springfield compact pistol, which is great. Now, I want to, before this segment ends, I wanted to read something here. Trey, I saw this. I think we need to find somebody. What's the expression? To take the torch? Is that it?
Passing of the torch.
Yeah. Or, I don't know. Passing of the torch means it's already there. What would you say to somebody? We need to get somebody out there to get started something.
Well, you got
to
take up the banner.
Okay, take up the banner. Thank you. I saw this article. Post office painting of Native Americans called demeaning. For decades, a colorful mural of New Hampshire's earliest settlement hauling logs, frolicking through the snow and walking through a town, has greeted visitors at the post office in the state. But one image on the 16-panel artwork of a Native American posing menacingly with a settler's house in the distance and the words "cruel adversity" below it has sparked controversy in Durham, a mostly white and affluent town that has that is home to the University of New Hampshire. There are no other images of Native Americans on the mural. The town said the Native American panel is based on a 1694 massacre in which about 250 Wanabaki warriors attacked a settlement in what is now Durham and killed or imprisoned 100 settlers. But some residents have complained it's offensive, and the New Hampshire Commission of Native American Affairs has written to the U.S. Postal Service asking that it be removed or covered up. Now, what was that expression again?
Taking up the standard, or ladies, taking up the banner.
Ladies and gentlemen, is there anybody out there who can take up the banner and get pacifiers, get a collection of pacifiers to send it to these babies? All you freaking idiots out there who are pulling down statues, eliminating histories, you're nuts. You're stupid. You're crazy. You're ignorant. What the heck's the matter with you people? It's history. You learn from history.
Well, not only that, but you're not changing it. It happened.
It happened. That's it. You can look out and say, it's a fact. It's
the,
just,
the
if
first
you got
step
an issue with that,
it,
you just got issues, man.
The first step to denying it is hiding it. You can't deny what happened.
Thank you, Trey.
Bad
you
things, good
so
things,
well.
You can't deny them. If you deny them, you're in danger of repeating them.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I have an opinion. You either like it or you don't. If you like it, you can give me a call and say, that's cool. If not, get your own radio show. Okay, Trey, I think we're up for a break, right?
Yeah,
okay, let's just take a little break. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you on the other side. And when we come back, my special guest, long-time friend, retired Major Edward Thomas, and we're going to tell you the story about him, and he's going to tell us what's going on. See you on the other side. Central Texas Martial Arts of Rockdale offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Cappellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cappellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cappellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Butros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's September 9th, 2017, and we've been having a great show, and it just continues to get better and better. Now, sitting to my left is retired Major Edward Thomas. I've known Ed Thomas here for quite a while. I'm an antique buff, and one time I went to Belton, and I saw a store, Major Daz. You may have known who that is. That's Major Daz. Sir, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
And I just went to his shop one time and fell in love. The way he had it set up is kind of like what I did in my shop, just not as nice. Okay, he had a great time, so we had a great conversation, clicked really well, and through the years, and we contacted again each other just recently, and we got him on the show. And so I don't know where I'm going to start or how I'm going to do this, but sir, we got about 15 minutes, and I just wanted to get you on and let people know there's just real people out there doing what they got to do. There's no heroes. Everybody's a hero. The whole works. You just do what you got to do, and we wear the uniform. We serve our country. The whole works, and I want to hear your story.
Well, good morning. Thank you. I guess the best way to start this, and this just right off the cuff, I'm here in Texas and have been since 1975, semi-permanently, because I married a Texan after going through military flight school at Fort Walters, Texas. And you marry a Texan, you might as well reside.
That's right.
The fact that you're going to be a Texan. But at any rate, I'll back up from there and say a little bit about my background, what led me into Army Aviation. And Army Aviation, my wife doesn't like to hear it, but it's almost my first love, but she's kind of taking place over that.
Okay.
But at any rate, I always had a desire to fly since I was a kid, and never actually flew till I went on my first ride in a military helicopter. I went from high school to flight school. The Vietnam War was going on, just really getting started. In 1963, when I was looking at going to flight school and trying to graduate from high school. In fact, I turned down a crack scholarship to Clemson to go to Army flight school from high school. I went in as a warrant officer. Actually, I went in as a warrant officer candidate. I spent a year in flight school training to do what I knew I was eventually going to have to do, and that's go fight the war in Vietnam, because even my friends were saying, you know, aren't you a little bit afraid to go? You know, the war's going on and you're liable to go to Vietnam. Well, if you knew anything about flight school and the training at that time and what 99% of the pilots, new pilots' orders were, was to Vietnam. So I knew that that's where I'd be going, or relatively confident that's where I'd be going. And in fact, 1 year from going on active duty in the military, because I had already been in the National Guard for a year and a half. So in January of 1963, I went to, correction, 1964, I went to flight school. 1 year later, after graduating from flight school, I stepped out on the tarmac at Tan Sanut Airfield in South Vietnam. 1 year from the time I joined the military, went through flight training, and now I was there. So, you know, it's a very tedious program being a one-officer cadet. You spend half a day flying, half a day in academics, and lots of check rides. In my case, I don't consider myself a genius, so I had to study hard, I had to work hard at it. And like I said, the first time I ever actually flew was my first flight in flight school. And up to that point, I'm thinking, can I handle this air work? Am I going to get air sick or what the deal is? But it all went well. I did graduate as a one-officer W-1. And to kind of jump ahead just slightly, I spent my first tour in Vietnam as a one-officer W-1, came back and ended up being promoted to chief one-officer, and then got a direct commission to second lieutenant. So now I'll jump back to the beginning of my time in Vietnam in 1965.
Don't let me stop. When Matt shuts up, he's like, wow. Oh, I just want to just keep going, man. Just keep going.
Just talk about my first tour in Vietnam, because, in fact, I served two tours in Vietnam, one in 1965 from January 3rd, 65 to the 31st of December, 1965. So on New Year's Eve, I'm heading home on a plane back to the United States, but stepping off the tarmac opened up a whole new world to me. I had spent my leave from flight school on my way to Vietnam at home watching the Vietnam War on television. This was what everybody referred to at that time, the first television war that the general public watched actual battles going on. Well, I watched the Battle of Binh Gia being fought. The unit that I was headed to was, in fact, leading that battle, the 145th Aviation Battalion, and specifically the 120th Aviation Company, which I was assigned to. So I'm watching them go into the Binh Gia Valley, napalm bomb being dropped on the periphery by the F-100 fighters that were flying then, our aircraft going in and taking fire, and you're hearing radio calls taking fire, going in. You see cameras showing the burning aircraft in the landing zones, and it was everything battle really is. And it's not glorious. It's not glamorous. It's pretty scary. So I ended up getting in Vietnam while that battle is still going on. I got my orientation flight, then assigned an aircraft as a co-pilot. And my first mission, which I call my baptism of fire, was going into that same valley with the same scenario going on. Napalm being dropped on the mountainside. We're down in the valley. Aircraft are still burning in the landing zone. Not a pretty sight, but it's everything battle actually is. And, you know, as a young man, I think most young men wonder how they would react under fire.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know how I would do. I thought, okay, I'll be a brave guy. It won't bother me a bit. Did it scare you a little bit? Yeah. But I found out that I would not duck under fire. I would do what I was trained to do and just get through it one day at a time. And I'm often asked, well, were you scared? Really, as a rule, no. In the mission, I'd come back at the end of a day and think, I could have gotten killed out there today, but I didn't. Good Lord watched over me on many occasions over there.
Sir, I just want to interject something. That is why training is so important. You become a machine when you're trained properly and you take it seriously. That's the only thing you can cling on to other than the wings of God protecting you, you know. But without training, you're going to falter, and you got so many people who are depending on you.
Well, and that's true, Matt. We are trained. Military pilots, I think, are the best trained pilots in the world. And I'm a little biased. I'd say Army military pilots are the best pilots in the world. My Air Force and Navy buddies might disagree with me. In fact, I had an uncle. He unfortunately just passed away about 8 months ago. He was a naval aviator flying A-6s over North Vietnam, getting shot at. His wingman got shot down. He shared with me at one time and what went on there. But I still like to think the Army pilots are the ones that's right in there looking eyeball to eyeball, doing our job. In fact, I have to just, in a sense of humor, One mission I was flying, and this is after I'd started flying gunships, or the UH-1B Huey gunships. We were on a mission and had some... we were supporting, at this time, we were supporting primarily Vietnamese soldiers, because at the beginning of 1965, there were very few American soldiers over there. The Vietnamization of the war really didn't start taking place until about mid-65, when the 1st Cavalry Division came over, and the 1st Infantry Division, the 173rd Airborne Brigade, and a whole influx of American servicemen, both ground pounders and aviators. But... at any rate, we were on a mission, and we got a radio call to pull off the target, because it was an F-100s from the Air Force going to drop some bombs on the target. And so we said, okay, we'll orbit out away from the area. So we watched the F-100s come in, and they got close to the target, but they were up much higher than we were, doing what we call pickling their load, or dropping their load. And as they broke off, I called them and said, if you got a minute, stick around. We'll show you how to hit them. Because we were down at treetop levels when they were up at 2,000 feet. Man. And like I said, we saw the enemy eyeball to eyeball often. And so with a little sense of humor, an inter-service rivalry, that kind of thing went on occasionally, and sir, kept it as humor.
I've been in Hueys, and there ain't much to them. I mean, bullets can go through those pretty quick. I mean, you're scooting. How fast are you going? And you're riding a piece of aluminum, I think.
Well, it's more than a piece of aluminum. It's a lot of plexiglass too.
Oh, gee, I feel better now.
No, in all seriousness, we did have armor plating around our seat. We had some armor plating around the critical parts of the engine, some of the control systems. Mm-hmm. But you know, you can take a lot of hits and keep flying, or you can take one hit and be on the ground.
See, with a plane, when it hit, you got wings. If it doesn't go dramatically, you know, straight down, at least maybe you can coast in. Helicopter, auto-rotate maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, if you lose an engine in a helicopter, we do have auto-rotation procedures. In fact, when I was back in flight school, and throughout our whole military career, we spend more time on emergency procedures than we do just normal flying. Landing and takeoffs and hovering, that's just standard operation.
And to clarify,
think about that. But you think about what happens if you lose a tail rotor. What happens if you get an out of balance condition, an engine failure? And we do auto rotations on a regular basis.
Can you explain, sir, an auto rotation real quick, what that is?
Well, if you think as a kid you had a one of these little paper windmills that you blow into to spin the mill, a helicopter works very similar. We have a system where if your engine is knocked out or quits on you, the transmission between the engine and the rotor system will disengage and make it a freewheeling system. So the air coming up through the rotor system keeps it spinning if you do the right thing. And that is
your
rotor RPM at the right range. That means changing the pitch of your blade so you have the least amount of resistance coming through that system, and allows you to literally fly it to the ground. You come in at a fairly steep angle, you flare the aircraft, and then pull pitch. And when you pull pitch, you take a bigger bite of air with that blade, mm-hmm. changes the pitch of the blade, and that gives you an initial cushion. Well, the inertia of that blade slows down real quick once that additional power requirement is placed on it, and you're going to start falling down. So you have to be 10 to 15 feet maximum to pull that initial pitch pull and then cushion it down and walk away from it.
How the heck do you practice that?
You do. Well, actually, the military keeps jumping back from power recovery training auto rotations, which means you roll your power off, but you don't turn your engine off. You just roll the power requirement off.
Okay.
And then when you get down to 100, 200, 400 feet, they keep changing this over the years. But then you roll your power back on, but you still go through all the deceleration, initial pitch, but you're never without power.
Power, okay.
When I went through flight school, we rolled the power off and kept it off all the way to the ground.
And that's when I was a kid growing up, I used to walk to school in the snow going uphill both ways.
Well, as a pilot, I've had to teach it both ways. And my preference is to take it all the way to the ground without the power and make you do it right. And if you bend some skids, you bend skids. But when it comes to actually having to do it, you're not going to have that choice. You're not going to have power. So you've got to know the right procedure. Well, the military is also concerned with safety and cost.
Of course.
Aircraft are getting more and more and more expensive.
Yes, sir, I don't want to cut you off, but I am on hard breaks and things. But, so I want to make sure we get this in. I remember a time you were telling me about a story about focusing in on an attack run. And the reason I'm telling you this is, or asking you this is because it's tunnel vision. And it happens in any episode of defense or aggression, whatever, you get tunnel vision. I would like you to explain that story because it was so fascinating to me.
I often wondered how these fighter pilots and the jets could fly into their target, what they call target fixation, and they just flew straight into their target. They didn't pull out or didn't pull out soon enough. And this is the problem. They all try to pull out because they realize that at a point that they're going to hit the ground if they don't change the angle of attack. And so an aircraft will go into a flat fall. If you got so much momentum carrying you forward or at the angle you were attacking, it takes time to pull out of that momentum that's carrying you forward and then get lift to get back up. Well, I found out how it can happen. I was in October, and it was redlined at that time at 210 knots or miles an hour. And I was a very high angle of attack starting at about 1,500 feet. And I was coming in well in excess of 210. And at a point, my front seater is the co-pilot and gunner. I was firing rockets. And he said, "Ed, pull out, pull out." I mean, he repeated it two or three times. And I realized what's happening here. It's time for me to start changing my angle of attack. Well, I started pulling out, but I continued to fly forward. And I got within touching distance of the nipple palm or low palm and brush that was on the ground. The only thing that saved me was I pulled out almost soon enough, but at least soon enough that when I got that close to the ground, the rotor wash from the aircraft, the rotor system, actually gave me a cushion from the ground, and I was able to pull out, and my skids actually touched the nipple palm, which was only about 20 foot high off the ground.
So explain though, I understand the procedure of what happened. What's going through your brain? Is it just like, I'm going to get this thing?
I've got to get that target. I've got to get the target.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, when it comes to helicopter flying or carrying a handgun, don't get tunnel vision. Stay open to more threats and whatever and be able to focus on multiple things at the same time. Sir, we're almost out of time here. Tell us something else. Let's close up with something I think you hear, the most successful operation or whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, my second tour, I went back with an air cav squadron that we had formed at Fort Knox, Kentucky. And one of our missions in December 30th, actually started on December 30th of 1968, we were searching for Nick Rowe, who had been a POW in the hands of the Vietnamese for 5 years. But we got intelligence as to where he was being transported to, and I actually flew the command mission on the 30th looking for him, and we couldn't find him. The second day, on the 31st, Major Thompson was our troop commander. We went out on the same mission again, and we spotted him. I was flying Cobras gunships at that time, and we spotted some Vietnamese, North Vietnamese, and NVA and the Viet Cong moving across an area down in the Delta, which is a very southern area of Vietnam, and they were moving through an open rice paddy. And so we figured at that time they were simply the enemy. And we lined up and started rolling in on it, and I'm about to pull the trigger. And Nick Rowe, who was one of those guys in black pajamas, kicked his hat off, and he's redheaded. The Viet Cong were not redheaded and didn't have red beards. And we were low enough, and our scout spotted him. He said, pull off, cease fire. And so we pulled off. And then Nick was smart enough to, he popped the magazine out of his guard's weapon, who was just, the guard was walking in front of him. They'd had him so long and they were casual about covering him. He pressed the magazine into the mud and separated himself from the guards. So we shot the guards, and then our commander came in with his Huey and picked up not only Nick Rowe, but a South Vietnamese lieutenant who had also been a prisoner for a long time. And I figure that was probably the most rewarding and successful mission I flew in the 2 years I flew over there.
I bet you he would agree with you, too.
You know, unfortunate part about it, he was assassinated about 10 years later as an attaché in the Philippines.
Ah, jeez. What a way to just like Patton go through all the war and then gets killed in an auto accident. Sir, I can't tell you how enjoyable it was to have you on the air. Maybe we can get you back again. But everybody, this is retired Major Ed Thomas and a friend. And is there any, if you want, you can say how they can look at your antiques or whatever.
No, just enjoyed being here. God bless all of you.
Okay, thanks, everybody. We're going to take a quick break, Trey. And on the other side, we're going to have Master Cindy Key talking martial arts. So we'll see you in just a minute. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Butros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Everybody, the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's September 9, 2017. We're winding down in the last 5 or 6 minutes here. And to my left now, I have Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Cindy, Miss Key, Master Key, welcome to the show again.
Thank you, Matt.
Miss Key is going to be doing a segment every week concerning different aspects of martial arts and the mind, body, and spirit, the whole works, on how it all relates, becoming the warrior within, I guess. Isn't that correct, Miss Key?
That's correct.
What's the expression you have? The
way of the warrior.
Way of the warrior, but it's translated into how in Korean, I think it was. How do you say it?
Jeonsalmuso.
There you go. That's it. All right. So tell us what you got there.
Well, we're going to talk about situational awareness. That's the first thing that you need to be aware of when you are thinking about defending yourself or maybe somebody else that's with you. You need to be aware of your surroundings. If you're at home, you need to, like at night, lock your doors, make your sure your windows are shut, things like that. Pay attention to your animals if they're making noise. I have a donkey that is the best alarm system ever. You know, if somebody different or something different comes on the place, he brays, so I need to pay attention. If you are shopping, I've actually had this situation happen to me. You come out of Walmart or the mall and you have all these cars and, you know, you're walking to your lane of the car. You need to pay attention to what's around you, who's around you, what they look like. If they are walking like they're mad or they're like they're up to something, I mean, most people you can look at and kind of tell, you kind of get a feeling. Listen to that feeling. Absolutely listen to that feeling. If you have a strange feeling about somebody, absolutely listen and make space between yourself and them. I mean, he followed me in the parking lot, and then I finally turned around when I was still far enough away from him and told him, what do you want, in a not-so-nice manner, and he just looked at me and walked away, and those are kind of things you need to pay attention. You know, don't walk out of the store. The worst thing, I love cell phones, and they can be a good self-defense tool, but they are the worst thing ever when you have your face in them, and you're walking out, and you are not aware of anything around you but what's on that phone, and that can be so dangerous. It can be so dangerous. I mean, if I hadn't been paying attention and noticed this guy out of the corner of my eye, I mean, he might have been able to get up close to me and I don't know, grab my purse, grab me, whatever, which would have been a mistake for him.
Oh, yes. It's like I said before, you play with your food. I sparred against you. I do not want to do that. It's a very risky procedure.
But, absolutely, just pay attention to your surroundings. Look around. I mean, if you're feeling nervous, look around for an opening, a door. Look for a police officer. I had that happen to me at the Austin Mall. a guy was tracking me in there, and I just looked for where one of the mall cops were, and then I turned around and told him the same thing and reported that person to the mall cop, which went and asked him a few questions. And but you just really, really pay attention to what's around you. If you're really feeling hemmed in, look for things around you that you can use. Put something between you and that person. It can be other people, you know. It can be, you know, your vehicle. It can be a chair.
Ms. Key, you made a comment in class the other day about Jackie Chan and how you love those movies because he picks up everything and utilizes it as something.
Everything.
That'd be a great example of what you're saying right there.
You need to be aware of everything. And we'll talk about this toward the end of the month. I'm going to talk about things you can use that are around you. But, you know, if you're outside gardening and somebody strange comes up, I mean, look around, you know, for, you have the broom, the hoe, you know, there's all kinds of things outside. Get in your house. I did work with somebody that actually raped and killed several women, and he's hopefully got the needle by now. But he was a clean-cut young man. You would not think that he was that kind of person, so you can't tell.
Ms. Key, you have every week you're going to be on for about 5 minutes, breaking it down into segments, and I want people to know that, but so they know how to get a hold of you, because we're running out of time right now. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and what you have to offer.
Well, I offer martial art classes. We teach self-defense, weapons, kata, or forms.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Taekwondo-based, but I use all my training, which I'm trained in a lot of different things, but I use all of that for the self-defense. My number is 7-5-1-2-5-4-7-2-1-2-7-7-5, and you can text me for information or call either one, and my other number is 512-446-7269, and there's an answer machine on that.
Okay, that's very good. Ladies and gentlemen, time just gets away from us. So until next week, we'll have Master Key back on. Until next week, keep your powder dry and God bless.
CBS News, I'm Bill Rakoff.
The storm is here. Hurricane Irma is now impacting our state.
This is Steve Futterman in Naples. With the direction of Hurricane Irma slightly changing, it now appears the west coast of Florida may get a direct hit, and Naples is one of those cities. Other cities that could be hit very hard, Fort Myers, and to the north, Tampa and St. Petersburg. Officials have warned people that the big concern are the storm surges, which could bring water 9 feet or even higher. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Naples.
Florida Governor Rick Scott says the current track of Irma presents a challenge for all Floridians.
This is a